really take it all in. It's the most realistic traffic coverage you're ever going to encounter. No helicopters. What does a helicopter know of traffic? This guy backing out into the middle of the road. That's traffic right there. We were affected by it. Navigating these intersections with grace and power. Freeway looking all right. We're going to get out there on that freeway and do freeway things. this is a situation. Huh. That was a rough merge. Not gonna lie. It was a rough merge onto the freeway. A lot of people almost just got hurt right there. Probably pitted on this big truck that's up here that kind of deliberately didn't let anyone in. And the car behind us that would, yeah, me and the car in front of me almost got sandwiched between two trucks, basically.
Work. Is the deal gonna get back together? I've been hearing rumors about the deal doing a reunion thing.
Man, I haven't played in the band since 1988. Right, and I walked into, this is a true story. I was at work, I was at Epic Records. I walked into an office, two young ladies, didn't see me walk in, were having the ball singing Two Occasions with the record playing. And I walked in and I saw it. And then they noticed that I was in the room. I said, you guys, you really know this song? They're like, this is our song. And then I said, maybe it's time. Just for one moment. I can't do it. I mean, if I'm being honest, it just doesn't pay enough.
Yeah, yeah, okay, no.
But I'm gonna do it for fun.
All right, that's LA, real. LA Reed is here. Just a LaFace Records kind of really helped catapult everything Atlanta when it came to the music business. All the artists whose career you touched, and who was the first artist signed to LaFace?
The very first artist signed was a duo called Damian Dame. Mm-hmm. And they both since passed away, but you know, we made one album on them. Mm-hmm. And we really liked the album. They didn't become a massive success, but you know, the thing about Atlanta is just the gift that keeps on giving. There's so much talent in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 1989 when we moved there. Mm-hmm. And started signing talent, started signing Tony, TLC or Outkast or Usher and many, many others from there. But even years later, I was signing, you know, Young Jeezy, mm-hmm. or now Future, mm-hmm. you know. And it's like the gift that keeps on giving. I don't know what's in the water in Atlanta or what's in that red clay.
Yeah.
But it's healthy.
It's healthy, right? Absolutely. You got to the point where you started, I don't know if outperforming your mentor was the right word to use, but Clive Davis,
yes.
being that mentor, but you got to a point where his boss sat you down and said, we want you to take over, right?
Arista. Yeah, that's a rare occasion.
Arista,
right?
Records. So,
don't count on that keeping it on
that. Yeah. When that happened at your house, you came to your home, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And said, I want you, picture this, the future of this company is you taking over Arista, which was actually distributing LaFace, I think.
Correct. They were our distributor.
They were your distributor, ran by Clive Davis. Keith Napney was there.
Right.
Keith Sidebars, who put me in radio years ago.
I came here?
In San Francisco.
Wow. Oh, my God.
That's how I got started. With
that. Is that right?
In the heyday. So when Outkast was breaking.
What a story.
That was happening in the day.
Right.
Absolutely. Good talk, man. We're going to lunch.
Oh, we got to do that.
We got to go lunch. You got to go lunch. I know all the secrets. I know all the
secrets. That's the story. Okay. I want that story.
But you did, in many cases, with, you know, you kind of ushered Diddy into it, you know, where you had to take that leap of faith and almost surpass your boss and take this position, which could have been career ending. What was that moment like for you at that time?
It was bittersweet, you know, because I wasn't sure if it was, I didn't have a lot of choices. I lived in Atlanta. I'm a black man from Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm-hmm. I've worked really, really hard, and I didn't really know what success was or really what the next step was after, you know, LaFace. And the truth is, I love LaFace, but I've been in Atlanta for about 10 or 11 years. I wasn't from Atlanta, and we were having such massive success that I was becoming a little bit bored, right? Just a little bit bored. I started investing in schools. In restaurants to go out of business.
You know, spend the money.
Buying restaurants just so you can have a table. I mean, it's just dumb.
Yeah.
You know. So you know, I went to school. I went back to school. And I took a business course, an MBA course at Harvard. Mm-hmm. And when it was completed, I was presented the opportunity to take over Arista Records. When I came to the city, it was not a celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I thought it was going to be like a celebration. I thought I was going to land in New York City and the whole town was going to be cheering.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I had a rude awakening and I realized, wow, I'm coming from down south. It's different, you know. The media didn't love it. The industry didn't love it. But it was for me the next step in my career. So I was very happy to do it. I took on the job and I merged the face with Arista.
Mm-hmm.
And the next set of projects were Pink.
Yes.
And Avril Lavigne.
Mm-hmm.
And Outkast Stankonia. This is before Speaker Box Number Low.
Mm-hmm.
And Usher had a big album called 8701. You know.
You think?
Yeah. So we immediately had like really like great success, but it was largely the artists that I already signed at LaFace. T.I. was one of them, by the way. Right? You know, but the actual Arista artists that were there was at the time Whitney Houston and Aretha Franklin, Kenny G.
Was Alicia Keys?
Alicia Keys was signed there,
uh-huh.
and I met Alicia very early in her career.
Uh-huh.
And I love Alicia because she said to me, she said, I would love to stay on the label with you, but Peter Edge signed me, and I want to continue on that journey. And I said, I respect your loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and so she went with Peter Edge and became Alicia Keys.
Mm-hmm.
But I respect her to this day because there were no games. She didn't play games with me. She was very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I love what you're doing. I respect you, but I want to stay on the course that I'm on.
Pink, when Pink first came out as an artist, she was more an R&B artist than she was a crossover pop artist.
That's right.
Was that your direction, or why did she...
I think that was the Atlanta direction, Sway. She came to Atlanta, and, and she worked with, you know, our people, all the people that we had working there.
Mm-hmm.
Candy Burris was one of them. So Candy Burris actually wrote her first hit. It was called There You Go.
Mm-hmm.
And Candy had just written No Scrubs for TLC and Bills, Bills, Bills for Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
And she was one of our writers, you know. In our crew, in our Atlanta crew. So Pink came and sort of picked up on all of that. But then when she, after she had success, Pink kind of took over her own career. And then she became more of a pop, even a little alternative thing.
Yeah. You said, I'm just going to go through things while I got you here because I know your time is limited. In a conversation you had with Kanye West, and it was the first time you heard 808 and Heartbreaks, right?
Yes.
And you told him, well, I'll let you say, do you remember what you told him?
No, I don't remember.
Okay.
By the way, my book is called Sing to Me. You should read it. I haven't, but you should read it.
All right, okay. Well, I read it, L.A. Reid. Okay. And you talked about how that sound and his approach to the music was, mother just passed. It was something different from what they thought was going to be released. And you felt like that revolutionized musically at that time the approach to making rap music.
Yes, I believe, like, I think Kanye West is the most daring, the most innovative, the most creative, perhaps of all of the artists I've ever met.
Okay.
And because coming from hip hop, there really are, like, musically, there are rules. Aesthetically, there are rules. There are just things you do, things you don't do, right? And if you think about it, whether it's in pop music or alternative rock or, you know, there aren't the same rules. You could be crazy. You could do anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wear your hair any kind of way. Do anything. But in hip-hop, it's like, you can't do that. You can't do this. Or we, as a people, we tend to frown upon it.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye broke all the rules. And then he broke the rules musically, you know, with 808. And when I heard it, I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be your career-defining record. And I said, I don't know if it's going to be your biggest record.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be your career-defining record because you opened it up. You took away all of the rules. You broke every rule, whether it was the, what's that funny thing you put in your, the voice?
Auto-tune. Yeah,
Okay.
Yeah,
he was using that auto-tune thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was the beats. It was emotional.
Yeah.
Right? There were love songs. There were heartbreak songs. It was just a different approach altogether, right? And I don't know. I have so much respect for Kanye. I just think he's the greatest.
What would you say to... Okay, I'm going to keep jumping subjects.
Yes, okay.
So, okay. And I like that chapter you talked about Kanye. It's a really friendly picture of him in the book, too. He's actually smiling.
Nice.
He's a
that.
Friendly guy. He
he's
really is.
He's a friendly guy. Yeah, right. He yells at people.
Steve Jobs yelled at people.
Okay, great. Are you a yeller, LA? All right.
By the way, does Sway yell at people? Y'all just let me know right now.
No.
Same song, right? well, I remember when MTV first started, and there was a song that called V video room
killed the radio star.
Yeah. The first video they ever played on MTV. In terms of social media in this digital age, we know the pros, but what do you think the cons have been?
I think it's pretty apparent that it's overexposure, right? Mm-hmm. And there's something about stardom that has mystique, right? And the mystique makes people more interesting. And I think that social media allows people to be a little too common, a little bit too in your face, too often, and there are no questions to ask, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we aspire to be common. So there was a time when we looked up to stars, right? Because they weren't common. There was something special about them. What did you say? They were unicorns,
they're
right?
Unicorns, right? Yeah, they're rare.
They're rare.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that we aspire to copy common people.
Yeah.
That certainly is not anyone's goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what my goal is? My goal is to be common. That's not American, right?
Yeah.
So I think that it's just too much exposure. It works for some. The beauty of it is that because it's so much, the star that comes along and says, no, I'm not going to go that route, mm-hmm. becomes very special.
Becomes very special, right?
Adele.
Adele. She's one of those.
She's one of those, right? How do you feel as a music guy? Like, I wrestle with this every day. I won't even say we. There's so much music that's being released on a day-to-day basis. Well, each artist is sounding like the artist they idolize most. So you get 10 different songs from 10 different artists, but it sounds like one long extended club mix or something. What do you know, artists who, they say imitation is the biggest form of flattery, but
It's always been that way, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, always been that way. When James Brown came out, there were a lot of James Brown copies. I remember them, right? But they didn't make it.
Yeah.
Or you remember Michael Jackson and Jackson 5 came, and there was like another boy band, almost just like them, copy band, right?
Was it the Fosters?
The Silvers.
The Silvers? Yeah. The Osmonds?
Right.
Oh, I didn't count that.
There's always been copies.
The Osmonds.
You know, there's always been copies. I remember Prince came out, man. There was so many Princes out there, and they didn't make it. You know, so I think that's just how it goes. There's probably more music in the marketplace than ever, but there's not more great music in the marketplace. It's about the same.
It's about the same.
Yeah.
This book seemed to me the story of making music, finding magic, and searching for who's next. You got a lot of who's next under your umbrella right now. Who's some of those new artists?
I like to think so, man. Yo Gotti, man. Yeah. He's been grinding for so long, man, but he's popping right now.
That's our homie. It goes down in the DM. Oh, my
gosh.
All right.
You know, Travis Scott. You know, he's also, you know, he's having a big hit right now.
Yeah.
But he's been grinding for a long time, and I expect great things from him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But even Future, as great as Future is, I don't think he's peaked yet. You know, I don't think he's become the big star that he will become.
Yeah.
You know, so I expect great things from him.
Was Bobby Smurda, was that your artist?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what is the label got a lot of backlash.
That's interesting. Like, we committed a crime, right?
Yeah. Well, that's people feel like the label backed out on him once he got in trouble. But that kind of trouble is probably what got him signed, you know, talking about.
No, his song got him signed.
The song got him signed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the song. The song was a hit record. So we picked up the record and it became a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, I don't really know exactly what happened with Bobby.
Yeah.
But I know that he's in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hope he gets out. I hope he gets out soon.
Yeah.
You know, I've tried to help, actually. I've tried a lot of times to help.
How would you try to help? Like, cause people don't think you guys did anything for him.
Well, we're not supposed to talk about what we do.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
grown folks' business.
That's what you try. One of the funniest stories I've ever heard was a story that I was at the Revolt conference and you were on stage speaking and you and P. Diddy shared a moment when both you guys seemed like y'all both were out on your luck when it came to the business. You know,
right.
You know what story I'm talking about?
He told the story.
He
right?
told the story.
Yeah, I'm glad he told the story.
Yeah. Can you remember the story?
Was this the boat story?
Yeah.
Which one? Try, give it a shot. I'll pick it up.
He just lost his deal?
Oh, no, he didn't lose his deal.
Well,
No, he lost his friend.
He lost his friend?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and...
the boat story. Is this the boat story?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, tell the
boat. We're talking about the same story, right?
Yeah.
So basically, we went out on vacation.
Okay.
You know, and he said, man, I had a hard year and I just need some quiet time.
Yeah.
I said, okay, cool. So we'll go on a boat, right? We'll just take and we'll cruise and have a quiet time, some meditative time, and you know. And it turned into, like, the biggest party of my life. And I mean, within hours, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, I chartered it, so it was in my name, and we got kicked off the boat. And
damn.
I was stuck with the bill.
Uh-huh.
You know, it took a little time for me to collect, you know, from my partner. And, you know, but we had a great time.
You had a great time.
It was memorable.
It was, yeah.
Except I couldn't charter anymore. They were like, no, we can't. But they would charter, let Mr. Combs charter every year. But they were like, no, you? I was like, me? Like, I'm not the party guy. Well, it was a party boat, and it was in your name.
But what I got from that, it was great to know that people at that level communicate and mentor each other.
Yeah.
You know, and you've had an opportunity to mentor a lot of folks. And I'm sure there's a lot of stories we won't hear about, but there are a lot of great stories in this book. You have to read it.
Yeah. And you know what? It's this book is really about how I felt going through many, many things. Because the truth is, I mean.
Alright.
Red man in the building, red man rocks the spot, your pastor, you think they gon' love that?
I don't give a fuck if they don't.
I am red man, and I'm playing with the fuck I feel up here. This is the soundtrack of my life.
Don't call me and be making me quest this shit.
Red man rocks the spot right now on Backspin. Hey, what's good? What's good? Red man in the building. I expect everybody to fasten their seatbelts, light a fat blunt as we take over. Seriously,
I'm driving a car,
Red man,
sir.
Rocks the spot. Take over a Backspin. I will be your host for the next hour and a half. We want to take it to a new phase. We want to let the public know where all of it started from. And how I'm going to set this shit up? We're going to set this shit up with Apache. Why? Why not Apache? Because the Sugar Hill Gang, the whole era from Nelly Mel, Grandmaster Flash, from Kool Herc, they are the originators of it. From the Bronx, New York, where it all started. So what better way to start off a program on the takeover of Backspin with Red Man Rock the Spot with a fat blunt and some legendary songs. So let's get into it, Apache, Sugar Hill Gang, where it all originated from. From the fucking Bronx. Do your fucking homework. Yo, Backspin, are you ready? Because I'm fucking ready. I'm fucking ready, man. What the fuck you laughing at, Gabby? Yo, this is the takeover. Red man, rock the spot. Takeover of Backspin. Let's get it.
All right, Red man, all right.
Keep us on the jump.
on me, costs me a pain, no, as the best machine. A phone is hard, sense the danger. When it's the heart, the rapid ranger. Add a little trap, a mess, and the exit kit. There's no respect, there's you to own your girls. Wanna join my tribe, just move to the right and feel the vibe. Put a fuss in the air, you'll agree. When you come inside my TV, as I said before, you can sense the danger. When you're stuck off the rapid ranger, with silver and I take a ride. All you six better step aside. I steal the squalls, then run away. Ho! Super is what I'll say. Ho!
What's up, Houston? What's Houston? Jump on.
Oh,
like the idea that Red Man showed up for his guest DJ spot. And I said, no, man, Double Dutch Bus. No, you need to play, no, you need to play Double Dutch Bus. Yeah, like the second song. Songs about poop.
Yo, that was Double Dutch by Frankie Smith. You know damn well y'all was double dutching out there. Everybody who knew that song, yo mama, if you too young to know that song, yo mama know what the Double Dutch Bus is. Double Dutch. That was the first time I seen hair under a chick arm on the Double Dutch Bus. You know, when we seen people with women with hair under their arms when we was young, we was excited. Like, damn, she burned. She gonna have titties soon. Yeah, we knew that. That was what we thought. I mean, it's what we thought in my hood and shit. But, you know, when you heard that Double Dutch song, it been summertime. Happiness, fun. But I can't get in. I can't finish it off with that. No. We gotta go into another song that was almost, that was clearly one of my favorite videos back in the day too, besides
clearly
Beanie Funky Beat or The Freaks Come Out at Night, which we should get into anyway. But we're gonna get into Buffalo Girls by Malcolm McLaren. Why Buffalo Girls? Why Gabby Buffalo Girls? You know why? Because Buffalo Girls came out at a time when breakdancing was at its, it was at its top peak, I would say. And when I seen the dude doing the, I say the moonwalk with the umbrella, and he opened it, I was amazed. I was amazed. You know, we was from Jersey, so we was always amazed at that New York scene. And Buffalo Girls kind of molded, help mold the hip-hop scene by letting other coaches know what we about, far as breaking, big radios, graffiti, Adidas suits, Adidas sneakers, Kango hats, Kazal glasses. They had all the elements of hip-hop in that video and in that song. And it's only right that we take it to Buffalo Girls by Malcolm McLaren. This is Red Man. Respect the architects. Backspin. Are you ready? Because I'm ready. Let's get it.
Round. Yes, sir. I hope your blunts was lit. I know I'm having fun up here. This is Red Man Rock the Spot. Takeover of Backspin. Sirius XM. And what better way to set off this next joint from some classic legendary dudes that put me on. When I heard this first song here, honestly, you can ask my sister. When I heard this song I'm about to play now,
I
told my sister, I reached behind the curtain because that's what separated our rooms, was a curtain. And I pushed that curtain back and I told her black ass, I said, Roz, I'm going to do this shit. You might as well let me be your DJ now because I'm going to get on. And I said this statement after I heard this legendary song from some legendary dudes that I had to be tutelized by. And this is EPMD, You Got to Chill. And if you ain't with that and you don't know what this is, then you ain't doing your fucking homework. Let's get into it. You Got to Chill, EPMD, that molded my life together, the soundtrack of my life. This is the Takeover Backspin. I am Red Man or Sirius XM. Rock the spot. Let's get it.
You got to chill.
Redman seems almost angry about it. This song.
Relax your mind, let your conscience be free, and get down to the sound of EPMD. But you should keep quiet while the MC rap. But if you're tired, then go take a nap. I'll stay awake and watch the show I take, because right now, D-E-R-I-C-K is my name I spell. Things to the clientele, yo, I rock well. I'm not an MC who talking all that junk about who can be who. Sound like a punk. I just get down and I go for mine. Say check one, two, and run down the line.
To the average MC, I'm known as Determiny, the funky beat maker, New Jack Sturdy. Destroying a ploy when you're rhyming on void. Never sweating your girl, why be? She's a schizoid. When I'm on a scene, I always rock the spot. I grab the steel with the crown on top. In the beginning, I like to let my rhymes flow. And at 12, I press cruise control. Sit back and relax, let my rhymes tax. Maintain the C's while the double max. Always calm under pressure, no need to act ill. Listen when I tell you, boy, you got some shit.
I be the person
Listen to computer information on rap. Like the BRZ, my kisses up, make your toes tap. I format the rhymes step by step. Make them sound deaf, try to tame my rap. Prepare to come off in case of a diss. Don't worry about the thing, cause we can see what's happening from the party out. That's by standing still. Make a lady scream and shout while the buzz I kill. Take total control of your body and soul. Pack a nine in my bed to when it's time to roll.
I'm the P-double-E-M-D-E-E. And one thing I hate is a bite in the city. When I enter the party, suckers always form a line. Then they ease the way up and try to bite my lines. I did thousands of shows. Dish many faces and deal with them jack on the one-to-one basis. But every now and then a sucker MC gets courageous, and like an epidemic it becomes contagious. But nevertheless they all R.I.P. Balls underwear means rest in peace, cause MD stands for microphone doctor in the capital P, capital M, capital D, E, D, no doubt the chief rocker. Don't like to get ill, but if I have to I kill. So believe me boy, you got the shit.
Every word I'm saying, no, it's no delaying. Don't hesitate to motivate the crowd. I'm not playing. I'm seeing this, believing. You catch my drift. I'm trying to enter out because I'm just too swift.
How swift?
I'm so swift, and that's a natural fact. I'm like Zorro. I'm on the in your back. I don't swing on no ropes or no iron cords. The only weapon is my rapping sword.
Intimidate MCs with the tone of a phone. When I'm pushing on the microphone, because I'm a funky rhyme maker. MC Undertaker, the one who likes the max and relax. And when it's time, it should dig them smack. I keep the hands clapping, fingers snapping from tapping. When it's time to roll, Uzi patrols packing. The P and D, the mic's my only friend. And through the course of the party, I kill again and again. So if you're thinking about battling, you better come prepared. Come with your shield and your arm again. You got some shit.
DJ the boss.
Check it out, Redman in the building. Sirius XM in the building. Backspin in the building. Respect the architects while we here, bitches. You're never gonna hear nobody like this on the air ever. You're never gonna hear nobody playing these joints back to back ever. Paying homage to the legends like me. How y'all feeling out there? I'm Redman. I'm taking over for the next hour and a half on Rock the Spot Radio with Redman. Takeover on Backspin. On Sirius XM, and then that was EPMD, You Got to Chill. I explained the story earlier, how they molded my life, how it was actually a blessing that I got to live with Eric Sermon and start my career with the guys who actually gave me that up to let me know I can do this, to let me know I can be somebody in life. And if it wasn't for them, I think I've been selling drugs a day by now. So big up to EPMD for helping us mold Dos Effects, Keith Murray, K-Solo. We were the first Wu-Tang. We was the first group to ever do it and have stars in it and win. So y'all recognize the format that we laid out for y'all. But there were some other guys that helped me mold my career too, besides Run DMC, Jam Master Jay, EPMD, KRS-One, and Slick Rick. I don't know about you guys, but in my hood, KRS-One and Slick Rick were the gods. Besides Rakim, Big Daddy Kane, ETC, so-and-so. But I have to take time out to say, since it's this my motherfucking show, it is my show, right? Well, ain't nobody else's. This is the Rock the Spot show. You know, on Sirius XM, take over with Backspin. I am Redman, so it's only right that I pay homage to Slick Rick and KRS-One. Now, what songs do I want by these guys? It could be anything. It don't matter. We could go up and down the list. But I think I'm going to start off with, give me a second. I'm going to start off with Slick Rick, Children's Story, which is a classic in everybody's home, everybody radio. You got the CD. You a new school, old school artist. Everyone knows this record right here. This is Children's Story by Slick Rick. And why Slick Rick is a mentor? Because Slick Rick
knows how to tell a story and keep you interested. Slick Rick had the biggest jewels there was in hip-hop. Slick Rick was dripping. He taught dudes how to drip their jewels, which I learned from Slick Rick. How to drip my jewels. How to be punctual on a rhyme. Also, as you hear on my first album, Red Man Meets Reggie Noble, that's all Slick Rick influence, as y'all know. So without further ado, I'm going to get into one of my mentors, my dudes, and he's having a party.
Back off, well, honey is dead, deep in his heart. He knew he was wrong, so he let the lady go and he starts to run on. Siren sounded, he seemed astounded, and before long the little boy got surrounded. He dropped his gun, so went the glory, and this is the way I have to end this story. He was only 17 in a madman's dream. The cop shot the kid, I still hear him scream. This ain't funny, so don't you dare laugh. Just another case about the wrong path. Straight and narrow where your soul is cast.
Can I turn there? No, I can't turn there. Yes, I can turn there. Oh, but I can't. Oh, no. All right, well, I deviated from the course because it was going to take me the wrong way down 2nd Street, which would not help me, and yeah, I thought that was going to happen.
XM, Backspin Takeover, Red Man rocks the spot. This is my show for an hour and a half. That was Slick Rick, but we're going to keep it moving. This is KRS-One. Why KRS-One? Why not KRS-One? What have KRS-One taught me? He taught me to be a fucking aggressive. He taught me how to hold a mic. He taught me almost how to visualize what I want to say because he was so aggressive.
Weird, but okay.
And everything he from him and Slick Rick was so visual and vivid. It's only right that I pay homage to my dude, my mentor. This is KRS-One.
Sushi Boat.
What song I'm gonna choose from him? Let me see. Let me
look down my shit. Super Bowl 50 official licensed merchandise store.
See what I'm gonna give y'all out of KRS-One. By the way, if you ain't lighting your blunt and smoking with me right now, you're fucked.
What?
Hey, oh, we're gonna go into
Red Man.
The P is Free by KRS-One. He got plenty of other joints that's dope to me that I can rock all day. But we're going to go into The P is Free, produced by DJ Premier, one of my other top DJs and producers. But we're going to get into that later. This is KRS-One. P is Free. This is Red Man Rock the Spot. Backspin. Let's get him.
Yeah, I said a girl is free, cause the crack was
Oh, wait, what? Oh, no. I couldn't make the turn that it said that I should make. Yes, it is only right you get into another joint that you're feeling.
If you 35 and above, or even 33 and above, you might have heard this song in your house played by your mama or played by your best friend in the street. We're going to go into something that's not even hip-hop. We're going to go and pay some homage. We're going to go into Shaka Khan and Rufus. Do you love what you feel? I know I love what I feel because I'm feeling myself right now. And if you can't love yourself, you can't love nobody else. So let's get into Shaka Khan and Rufus, one of my favorite joints that helped mold me, baby. Do you love what you feel? Red Man, Sirius X, and Whip.
Oh.
Red Man rocks the spot. Let's get it.
Okay, so if I turn here and go across, then I can just take that, and that'll become 8th Street, and then... Fuck. Red man, help me. I should get on the freeway, which I'm gonna not do that.
Sirius XM, Red Man rocks the spot. I'm taking over for an hour and a half. And I'm playing what the fuck I feel up here. This is the show about. I'm not taking no fucking requests. Don't call me and be making requests and shit. You know, I'm not gonna play no Smokey Robinson. Not tonight. How y'all feeling out there? I hope y'all feeling good like I am. We're gonna get into songs that...
Get into this Smokey Robinson joint.
...my life that helped molded me in my life, that gave me strength to believe I could do what I do now. And I owe it all... Pay big homage to all the artists before me because I learned from them. But we're going to get into some of my peers now before I get out of here because I only got a little bit of time left. One of my dudes, well, a group of my dudes who definitely helped mold me as far as smoking. Now, when I first seen this magazine article, High Times, and I first seen Cypress Hill on High Times, they was the only group to have the most greenest weed I have ever seen. Because you already know, in the early 90s, y'all, we're going to keep it funky. The weed in New York was strictly chocolate, or it was brown, and it had seeds in it. Believe me, I've been a big pot smoker for the longest.
I believe
before
that.
They started
I believe you, Redman.
The right way from Cali to get here, we was dealing with a lot of brown weed. We had skunk. Yeah, it was cool, but it wasn't greener than that Cali bud. And when I first seen Cypress Hill on the High Times magazine, I was like, who in the fuck are these motherfucking Latino rapping dudes with the most greenest bud I have ever seen? And after that, it was somewhere bigger than New York and New Jersey I had to get. There was a green bud out there I had to find that I could not find in my hood. And
they helped open that door for me. And in case anybody didn't know, too, Cypress Hill is the originators. They are the founders of OG Kush in California. If you ever heard of OG Kush, which is a big weed household name, they are the creators of OG Kush out of LA. Give that man respect. Cypress Hill, one of the dopest hip-hop groups that came about on this hip-hop game, far as spreading the weed culture and spreading the awareness on what bud can do for you. So I could get into a joint from their album that y'all all know, but you know what? I'm not. I'm going to get into one of their joints that helped mold me off the album. That's not a single. We're going to get into Stone is the Way of the Walk by Cypress Hill. If you don't know about that, you're in the wrong station, baby. Red Man in the building. Red Man rock the spot. Your bastard. You think they're going to love that? I don't give a fuck if they don't. This is Stone the Way of the Walk by Cypress Hill. Red Man backspin on Sirius XM. Let's get it.
Through San Francisco is stressful. It's just fucking a zillion one-way streets. You know, when you gotta, like, take fucking alternate routes and figure shit out, like, it sucks. I fucking hate it. I fucking hate it. Ugh.
Hey, this is Red Man. I'm taking over Sirius XM with Backspin, or Sirius XM Backspin, as you would say. Hey, y'all have been listening to joints that meant a lot to me in my life that helped molded me. We're going to go into a segment now, which dealing with me. We're going to play a classic joint from me, and we're going to play an up-to-date joint, a right-now joint. My classic joint, I will play my first album, matter of fact. My first joint I will play off my first album would be, would it be Time for Some Action? No, because you know that shit. I want to play Watch a Nugget by Eric Sermon. Why y'all want to play that song? Because Watch a Nugget that was a song that Eric produced and also rapped on. That song, I would say, was the ignition, me and Eric's vision on what and how we wanted people to look at our music. Like
Bomb Squad.
To look at us.
That's literally a truck for the Bomb Squad. All these cops hanging out. They probably see her preemptively, but it's just like they got this whole block.
I mean, it had skulls.
Kind of roped off a whole bunch of cops.
Dog in it. It had so many elements
and a Bomb Squad
from samples that made that record so. It even had a part from Stevie Wonder in it when it go bam, bam. I mean, who the fuck gonna sample Stevie Wonder but Eric Sermon? So we're gonna get into a joint, a classic joint from Redman. If you don't know, go buy the album. Go do your homework. This is Watch a Nugget, produced by Eric Sermon, featuring Eric Sermon. And why? Because it's a funky-ass joint, and it molded both of us. This is Watch a Nugget from What the Album, Redman. Yo, Backspin, it's only right that we lay him with this shit. Sirius XM, let's get it.
Oh, the Marriott is the official hotel of the NFL, and the courtyard by Marriott next door to the office says, "Are you ready?" on it, and then, what is this fucking hashtag? Hashtag courtyard. Great, great work. Good work. Oh, no, wait. Courtyard NFL. Way better. Way better. A lot of people are probably using that. A lot of real human beings. Alright, Eric Sermon, let's see if we can get down this fucking alley the wrong way. Oh, I'm gonna. That guy looked confused, that construction dude, as I drove past. Alright. All right, I'm here. I gotta go. Have a great Monday. I'll see you later.